And I got to turn off my cell phone. I brought it up here with me. Normally I don't do that, but I was running my mouth too much before church to take it off. Y'all ever have that problem? And so, 1 Peter, we started that last week, going through 1 Peter, and Peter here is telling us about an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. Amen? We have an inheritance in Jesus Christ that is incorrupt. It cannot be corrupted. It cannot be defiled. The things of this world cannot touch it. The promises of God are true and sure, and in Him it is amen and amen, right? There is God, and He loves you. He set you apart. He's calling you, and He says that that inheritance, it does not fade away. It is reserved for you. You have better than the Federal Reserve. You got the Holy Reserve. Amen. You got the Holy Reserve of heaven. And it is for you because He loves you. And He called you into His great love and His joy. And in verse 7, He starts talking about the trials of your faith. It's much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. Might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Christ, of Jesus Christ. So you have a promising God, you have an inheritance God, you have salvation through God, and the trials of our faith, when the hard times come, this is 1 Peter chapter 7, 1 and 7, or 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, all right? Got to get the address right, or folks are going to be going to the wrong house. Right? And so in that, He's saying that He has some things, that He is absolutely sure of you, of your love, of His grace for you. And that this trial, this testing of your faith is a good thing.
Amen.
It is a good thing. We need to test our own faith from time to time. You know, we need to make sure that we're saved, that we're right with God, that we're doing the things that the Lord has called us to. Because salvation is much more than just saying a prayer.
That's right.
Salvation is a lifestyle.
Amen.
You have come from being a prisoner of sin and of corruption into a servant of light,
yeah.
Right? And incorruption. God has called you from one way to another. He has came and shown you His glory, His grace, His love for you, and you have been basking in that through salvation. And the Holy Spirit has set up a house inside of you.
Amen.
To strengthen you, to enable you to not just to go into the trial, but He will guide you all the way through the trial.
Right.
One thing He won't do is deliver you out of the trial.
Right.
Because that trial is sent to burn away the dross, the corruption out of our life. God allows hard things to happen to Christians. You hear that thing, why do bad things happen to good people? First, start out like this, there are no good people.
Right.
All right, so that whole premise is wrong. There are no good people. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None is righteous, no, not one. We have all, like sheep, gone astray. Okay, so that makes us all bad people. But through Jesus Christ,
amen.
His holiness, His grace, He took this unrighteous,
yeah.
unworthy person and made something different in you,
thank
right?
God. He
changed you. He like the caterpillar going into the cocoon and coming out as a butterfly. And in that cocoon, you know what he that chrysalis, you know what that caterpillar actually does? He crawls into the chrysalis, or he crawls up on the leaf, and he builds this chrysalis around him. And then he actually dissolves on the inside of that chrysalis. He turns into goo. I don't know if you've ever, y'all boys out there in the springtime ever find one of those chrysalises and
yeah.
say, ooh, I'm going to see what's in it. And you open it up, it don't look like no butterfly. It's just a goo. That's all it is. It's just this green, slimy goo. Well, that's how God found you, right? He found you as a worm. And then He brings you into this time, this trying, this changing, this metamorphosis. And then He has, at the right time, as you come out of that chrysalis, that cocoon, and you're all of a sudden a flutterby.
Amen.
Amen. I like flutterby better than butterfly, because when you see them, what do? They just flutterby. You know, they don't care about much. They just flutterby. And so, And so, see, the trying of your faith is like that. It's more precious than gold. It's better than anything that's tried with fire. Might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So when will you be fully changed into that beautiful butterfly, that sinless creature? Starts with A and ends in earring. Appearing. Amen. At the appearing of Jesus Christ, there comes a day. There will be a day that this corruption will put on incorruption. Amen. That this goo will be better than what it is. There coming a day that I will be made perfect in the Lord.
Thank God.
I'm going to wait, but I don't want to wait. I have that promise. So it doesn't matter what happens on this earth.
Right.
What I want to do is make sure that I remain in that cocoon of Christ. I want to remain in the ark of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I want to remain where He is molding me and shaping me and conforming me into the image of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that's the job of the Holy Spirit in us. That's that continual sanctification. And in verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see Him not, yet believe and rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Now check that verse 8 and 9 out again. Who here has seen Jesus Christ? I ain't seen Him. You know, Jesus talks about salvation to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And He tells him how that he must be born, and John says, or Nicodemus says, "How can a man be born?" Jesus, it's in the book of John. Jesus is talking to Nick. All right. And so how can a man be born again unless he crawl into the mother's womb? And He says, you can't do that. And the Spirit is like a wind. You don't know how the wind comes or where it goes. All you can do is see the effect.
Yeah.
Now, I've never seen Jesus, but I see the effect.
Amen.
I look at this crowd. I look at these people, and I see how God is working through you and in you to accomplish His will. And I see the effect of the moving of the Holy Spirit in each of you. And that is a beautiful thing.
Amen.
And so we have this unspeakable glory that is inside of us. We have this unspeakable power that is granted to us through the Holy Spirit. We have the kingdom of God.
That's right.
All right? We have the kingdom of God. We don't have to wait for it to happen. It's already in you.
Amen.
Right? It is in you through Jesus Christ. Now, we need to be believing that, all right? Whom you have not seen, yet you love. All right? A lot of folks say, "I love the Lord." How many folks that you know that say, "I love Jesus"? "I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?" Right? Yeah. You don't know that, but anyhow. But that's something we did in youth camp, you know, a while back then. But so, do you really love Jesus, and how can you tell? If you obey
Him.
Amen. Thank you, sister. If you obey Him. If you do not obey Him, then you really and truly cannot say that you love Him. Right? You may love the effects of salvation, but you really don't love Jesus the Christ. See, there's a difference between loving a picture of something and loving the real thing. Right? You can have a teenage crush on a teenage idol, right? "Oh, I love Elvis Presley," right? Right? Well, you don't even know Elvis Presley. Chances are, if you did know him, you might not like him at all, right? What you like is the blue suede shoes, baby. Right? That's what you like about him. The moves, the jiggles, and the guitar singing and all that kind of, that's what you love about him. You know, the grease in his hair. But the real Him, you didn't know.
Yeah.
See, we can love what we think about the Lord Jesus, His goodness, His grace, His mercy. We can love that. But to really love the Lord God, that comes through an obedience.
Amen.
That comes through walking in faith on a daily substance, on a day, leaning on Him more than what we lean on the world. And the more, the closer we get to Him, the better you love Him.
Amen.
The more you obey Him, the sweeter it is. It just gets gooder and gooder and gooder. And you've been walking with the Lord for a long time. And every time Marianne says that, "Amen, I love the Lord," you know how I know it? She has a history. right?
A very long history.
No, yes, a history. Amen. You have got a long history of walking with the Lord, of God bringing her in the fire and out of the fire, in the water and out of the water, and cleansing her and changing her and molding her and shaping her. And all of a sudden, she is this lovable goo. Right? She's just a lovable goo. It's like the remember that chewing gum you bite and it squirt?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, it's just she's nice on you, but when you bite it, all that real flavor comes out, right? The more that you know her, the sweeter it gets, right? That's because she's walking with Jesus Christ in a close, intimate relationship. And you know what's really great? All of us have that opportunity.
Amen.
All of us do. And although she's special to my heart, she's special to the Lord's heart, but she's really not that special. All right? It's God in her that makes her that special.
It's her obedience to the Lord that has
changed her and made her to what she is. Her daughter's sitting right beside her. I'm sure you can tell some horror stories.
Oh my goodness. No, she didn't do it. They live with me, they are.
Amen. They know some things. They know some things. All right.
We plead the fifth.
There you go. See, we've never seen Jesus, and yet if we love him, we obey him. In whom, though you see him not, yet you believe. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. We ought to be people that are filled with the glory of God.
Yes.
Why? And with joy that's unspeakable. Mm-hmm. Even when you don't get your way in the election,
right.
Be joyful.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Be joyful in that. Even all the things that are going on, they say, well, they're stealing it, they cheated, blah, blah, blah. God is sovereign.
Amen.
Amen? God's in control.
He knew
who was going to be president before the first vote was cast.
Yeah.
He knew before the ballot machines were infected with the virus. He knew all that stuff, and it is okay.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's all right. Doesn't matter. All right, because there's an end. Receiving the end of our faith. Receiving the end of our... When's the end of your faith? When do you not need faith anymore?
When you're in the presence of
Jesus. Amen, you're right. When you see him face to face, you don't need no more faith. You know, because your faith has been made sight.
Amen.
Amen. And there is coming a day, those that really believe, love him, obey him, walk with him, have trusted their salvation in him, we will see him face to face.
Amen.
I cannot wait. I mean, in heaven, there'll be all of the apostles and all of the prophets of old time and all from Abraham, Adam, all the way down. All those men of faith, ladies of faith, your grandmama, your grand, all those folks. And yeah, do I want to see them? I want to see Jesus more.
Amen.
Amen. I want to see Jesus more. I want to see the glory. I'll have all eternity to meet all the rest of the folks.
Right?
I want to be in his presence.
Amen.
And whatever it takes while I'm in this cocoon.
Right, right.
To be made into the image of God.
That's
that
right.
We must
Amen.
Do.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
And it's different for you and for me. You know, because you didn't, as a worm, before you knew the Lord, you didn't have the same baggage that I had. And I didn't have the same baggage you had.
Right.
But when God called us out of that and put us into this cocoon, into this metamorphosis chamber, he was doing something that needed to be done in me.
Amen.
And in you personally and particularly. And He knows what it takes to make you into what you need to be in
faith.
The glory.
Amen?
Yeah. And have faith in that.
Yeah.
And so the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Woohoo! Man, that's a good time. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So in the Old Testament, the prophets would look into this grace. And say, yeah. See, they only have the law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the law, there's goodness, there's justice, and there's grace in the law. But it's not the grace of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
See, something happened on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit changed, well, he didn't change. The time came that he took a different job.
Yeah.
He's the same Holy Spirit as he always was.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. Same Holy Spirit that when God spoke and the Spirit of God moved across the deep darkness, that Spirit is the same Spirit that lives in you.
That's right.
Right? But at Pentecost, it changed. He changed his job just a little bit. See, in the Old Testament, in the prophets, he would come on them, he would anoint them for a time, and then the Holy Spirit would leave. Right? He'd come and he'd anoint you to do what you need to do, to prophesy, to write, to do. You're a holy man and you're moved by the Spirit of God to write the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. And then at the time of Pentecost, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he said, go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise.
Right.
That's what the prophets were looking
Amen.
For. And then that day, it was like a sound of a mighty rushing wind. They were in the upper room. And all of a sudden, it happened.
Amen.
The glory of God appeared over the heads of all of the disciples that were there. And at that time, the Holy Spirit dwelt in men.
Bless
not
God.
Just on men. Mm-hmm. Amen. And what the prophets looked for that. They were seeking it. And man, how can these things be? And most of them, I think Isaiah was the only prophet that really saw the Gentile church. All the other prophets, they only saw what God was doing to the Hebrew people. So the Pharisees, they had a reason not to believe or really understand about the Gentiles being grafted in to the vine. Because that vine first had to reject their Savior. And when they rejected their Savior, then the Gentiles, it was opened up for us to be part of the promises of Abraham through God, through Jesus. Amen. Bless his name. Amen. Bless him. And that's the salvations that the prophets searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They looked and they knew it, but they didn't really understand it. See, we have the benefit of time. See, we're on the other side of the cross looking back at the cross. They were looking forward to the cross that they didn't understand. Right? They knew that the Messiah would come, that it would be born of a virgin, and that he would die for the sins of many. But they really didn't grasp what it was. Even in Psalm 22 that David wrote, it described the crucifixion, but that was like 500 years before crucifixion was invented. Dying on a cross. It hadn't even come up in history yet. Right? So when he sees the bulls of Bashan that are surrounding him and he sees all of his bones are out of joint, he sees that he's thirsty and he calls to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken? All of that is in there. And them gambling for his garments, all of that was prophesied, but they really didn't understand what was being written. Right? So God, through his grace, allowed us to be born on this side of the cross so we can look back. All right, verse 11. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did like that, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you. Amen? So he said, listen, this is what was talked about, and this is what we're doing. They told us way back there, Peter knew, he knew the Scriptures, Paul knew the Scriptures, and when Jesus talked about the Scriptures, or Peter or Paul or John talked about Scriptures, they were talking about the Old Testament, which I don't even like to call it the Old Testament. The whole thing is the Testament.
Amen.
All right? I don't like the division between Old and New Testament, you know, because it is the Testament of God to the people. It is his love letter. It is his heart. It is what he accepts and what he does not accept. What it takes to be part of him, right? Whether it be the Old Testament or the New Testament. It is the Testament of God. So anyhow, it was revealed, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things that are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you. With the Holy Ghost sit down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look at.
Now think about this. Even the angelic host, God, you're going to send one part of the Trinity to become one of those worms? Really? You're going to leave this for that? They're going to beat you and crucify you? Your very image made in the flesh, and they're going to reject you and spit on you and hate you? For them? God said, yeah. For them. They were made in the likeness and the image of me, of us. Go ahead.
And he's still saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God
Almighty. Amen. That's right, yes. And they still saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Bless God.
Have you ever really thought, wrapped your mind or tried to wrap your mind? I can never wrap my mind fully around it, but often I just think what it would have been like in heaven before the foundation, because that's where God saw the cross, was before the foundation of the world. He knew you before you were ever created in your mom's womb. But if I can, in my little finite mind, I get that idea that God knew in the beginning that He was going to come and pour His blood out for somebody that didn't even like Him.
That's right.
Wow. For God so loved the world.
Amen.
That He gave His only begotten Son. Right?
And He knows who
yes.
is us.
Yes.
He knows that we're dust. There's
yes.
nothing we can do to help
nothing,
Him.
There's nothing we can do to help Him. You're right. We are, I like to call us animated dirt balls.
Okay.
That's all we are. We're dirt balls. God scooped up the dust of the earth and He breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. All you are is about a dollar and a half worth of clay. Right?
And now we're ambassadors.
Yeah, and now we're, amen. Now we're priests, holy priesthood.
Yeah.
And we're ambassadors of the Most High God. And really, we're just goo in a chrysalis.
Yeah.
Waiting for the day of redemption.
Yeah.
Right? Wow!
I know.
Ain't God good?
Mind-boggling.
It is. It is mind-boggling. And the angelic host desired to look on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or into it. I can just see him sitting at the edge of heaven looking down and saying,
yeah.
Curtis?
Yeah.
Really? You want to call him? He's sitting there with a bottle in his hand and a needle in his arm. Cursing you to your face. And you want to call Him? Jesus said, yeah.
Bless
call Him.
Bless God.
The angel said, Do you know what he thinks? God said, yeah, I know what he thinks.
Yeah, but you still put it on the angel's head. It was Satan that is saying that all day long.
Amen.
And even after we walk with God, they still says, he's going to stumble.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, here, I'm going to put little stumbling blocks in front of me. I'm going to make you mess up.
God's word also says that we will entertain the angels without knowing it.
That's right.
Are you going to use him?
Yeah, absolutely. To feed me, I'm an angelic host. Absolutely. That's why he says that we need to entertain strangers.
Right.
Because you might be entertaining
yes.
angelic hosts, not even knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes, right there.
There you go. Yeah, because there's no stranger than her.
No, angel.
Oh, praise God. In 13, he says, wherefore? All right, after knowing everything we just talked about, wherefore? All right, wrap your mind. Now, since we know that, we need to gird up the loins of our mind.
Amen.
All right? The most private part of your mind, keep it under control. Gird it up.
Yes.
Right? Keep your, and I like it's the loins of your mind. I mean, nobody wants to see loins, right? You don't want to see that your parts, you know, you don't. You don't want to see that stuff. So keep them covered up.
Right.
And it's not saying that you don't have mind stuff.
right? He said, keep it under control. Gird it up. Keep it wrapped up. Keep it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Keep it under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Keep it under the Word of God. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. That means, that doesn't just mean don't get drunk. Amen. It means be serious about it. Do we really treat our personal sin with sincerity? I mean, not trying to cover it up, not trying to powder puff it, but looking at it for what it is, right? And dealing with it through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. See, that's what, gird up the loins of your mind and then be serious. Be honest before God and be honest with yourself that this is not a, what do they call them? An addiction. All right? It's sin. It's not an addiction. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, you may be addicted to sin, all right? But it's we call it the wrong thing. It's, I was born a poor white child, right? And it's all my fault. It's my mom's fault. It's my dad's fault. It's because I was here. It's because I was there. It's because I was this pigment. It's that pigment. And no, it's none of that.
No, we're not victims.
Amen. We're not victims. If we are in Christ, we are a new creature being changed into the glory of God. The old things we're supposed to be putting behind us, right? I have not yet made it. Praise God. I'm still being, God's still working on me, right?
Just took a week to make the heaven and sun and stars, the something, something, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be because God's still working on me.
Yeah.
Right?
God's doing that. He's working it. So be sober. Be understanding. And have the hope for to the end for the grace that is... that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When are we fully going to make it? When Jesus is revealed.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So we got to have that hope.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Don't get caught or don't get sucked down because of what you used to be.
Right.
You know? I can't go forward because of my back stuff, you know? For years, I blamed everything else except for the sin that was in my life. I was a drunk because my dad, well, my stepdad were drunks. I was a drug addict because my stepdad was a drug addict. I was mean and angry because I was abused. All that. And that weighed me down.
Right.
And Jesus said, I set you free
Amen. From
all that.
Yeah.
That, amen, praise God. You're not that. Stop holding on to the world. Let go of it.
Right, amen.
Right? He cleansed you. He raised you from the dead. That you can have that life, that revelation of God in Him. And we'll see that, we'll see it, that grace of God that is to be brought unto you. It's being brought to you, it's being exposed unto you, it's being showed unto you that God loves you in the middle of who you used to be because He knows who you're going to be.
Right?
So, it breaks my heart. I was going to say I'm so sick of it, but it just breaks my heart to see people who are all caught up in yesteryear.
Right.
You know, I can't move forward because... someone killed my dog when I was a kid, or kicked my cat, or, you know, whatever. I can't move forward because they made me go to bed without supper, or they hollered at me, or they, you know, they wouldn't let me color outside the lines. I don't know what it is. You know, but, so you hold on to that as a crutch.
Right.
Right? But it's not a crutch, it's an anchor. Mm-hmm. And you cannot fully go with God holding on to the past.
No.
You got to let that stuff go. Sometimes you got to forgive those things that hurt you the most.
That's right.
You know, before I get into that, just a short thing. If you're dealing with or have never gotten over yesteryear, things of the past, mm-hmm. there's a study I'd like you to go through, all right? It's called Making Peace with Your Past.
Right.
All right? Before I could really go with God, I had to understand that God knew about my past.
And to make peace with my past, I had to forgive some folks who really hurt.
Yeah.
Really ripped apart our family and did horrific things. Mm-hmm. And as much as it say, I got to give it back.
Yeah.
But when I gave it back, I was free.
Amen.
Right? When I gave that forgiveness, right, and said, all right, God, yes, I forgive them completely.
Yeah.
No longer was I bound up by that. And it says in the next verse that as obedient children, see, and what does God tell us? Forgive us. We pray that, our Father, forgive us our sin as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Mm-hmm. All right? We need to forgive as obedient children. That's a command. That's not a high suggestion. Right? Jesus says, if you do not forgive them, then you will not be forgiven. Pretty simple, right? Very tough. Mm-hmm. All right? It's simple to say, but it's a hard thing to do, because to really be as an obedient child doing what God has commanded us to do is going to put you vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to hurt. But through that hurting, you'll be released from all the pain that used to be. And I tell you, that's a glorious thing.
You're not to lose your salvation.
No. No, that's not what he's talking about.
Right. But people might misunderstand that.
You know,
if we're not forgiven, if we don't forgive, that's not in our power. We have to ask God to give that power to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I wasn't talking about salvation. I'm talking about peace. All right? So that peace of God. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust as in your ignorance. All right? So don't be conformed to the things you used to be.
Amen.
Right? Don't be like that dog that 2 Peter talked about that always returns to his vomit, or the sow that always returns to the mire. Right? You don't have to go back there. When Jesus set you free, you are free.
Amen.
Right? And if you don't go back, you won't go back. I guess that's the biggest thing. If you don't go back, you won't go back.
Yeah.
So just don't go back. See, I'm a very stubborn person, and I have a hard time quitting. All right? So when God told me to quit being a drunk, all right, well, I said, God, I can't quit. Then the Holy Spirit said, all right, then just don't start. So the way that I quit smoking, I laid them down one day and I just didn't pick them back up.
Yeah.
The way that I quit drinking, I laid it down one day and I just didn't pick it back up. The way I quit doing drugs, I laid them down one day and I just didn't pick it back up. All right? Now, I say that, but it was a struggle because my flesh wanted that stuff. But I knew that the Word of God said that I do not need to go back to the former lust.
No.
Those things that I used to enjoy, I had to change my circle of friends, right? I had to quit hanging out with the guys who like to drink, right? Because if I would hang out with them and they'd pop a top, boy, I'd start watering up the mouth, you know? Those folks were smoking cigarettes and I wanted a cigarette. Wanted one. No, I'm not saying smoking will send you to hell. That's not what I'm saying. But it was a hang up for me. Because when I smoked, I drank. And when I drank, I smoked. So if I knew if I smoked, then I'd drink. And if I drank, then I'd smoke. All right? So just don't do it. If you don't go back to it. And so when that desire came to do that kind of stuff, I fell on my face before the Lord and I confessed it to Him. God, I want it. Help me not go get it.
Amen.
Help me not. And guess what? He gave me the grace to go through.
He always does.
He always does. And now I am 25 years clean.
Praise God.
Clean.
Praise God.
Amen? Amen. Glory to God for that.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't take the 12-step program. I took the 1-step program, which was a really long road.
Yeah.
Amen? But, if you trust God, He delivers you from that stuff.
Oh, He does.
And so don't go back to your former lust in your ignorance. See, when you're doing those things, it was because you were ignorant. You did not know the love of God. Right? But now that you know the love of God, you didn't know freedom.
Yeah.
But now that you know freedom, Don't get ensnared, entangled again to those former things.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of lifestyle, conversation. Be holy because he is holy. Verse 16, because it's written, be ye holy for I am holy. And we're supposed to be being conformed into the image of Jesus.
Yeah.
Would Jesus do those things that we do? All right? No. Now, he was in the world, but he was not of the world, right? Now, he was around, he hung out with drunkards and prostitutes and sinners and lepers and sailors. I know a few sailors, you know, and so he hung around with those guys. He was a friend of sinners, but he never sinned, right? So you can be in the world and not of the world.
Yeah.
You can have friends that are out that are not Christian. And you should have friends that are not Christian. Because how are they going to know the love of Christ unless they see you loving them in the middle of that mess?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that... See, when I first came to Christ, one of my biggest regrets, because I was still drinking, and I would witness to people about Jesus Christ with a bottle of Jack Daniels. Mm-hmm. That was wicked. All right, it was wicked. That never brought anybody to Christ. Never. Now, I don't know what it did after that, you know, because the seed was planted. But I know that even when I was doing it, I knew it was wrong.
Yeah. You just didn't have the power yet.
Absolutely. I hadn't matured. I still was more worm than I was goo.
Exactly.
Right? I was building the chrysalis. I hadn't climbed in it.
Yeah.
Right? Or God was building the chrysalis for me and showing me how to build it. But I hadn't climbed into it to be conformed or start the confirmation.
Amen.
You know, so you still might be doing some things that the world does.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not here trying to condemn you for that stuff. I'm letting you know that there's a better way.
Amen.
Through Christ Jesus. Relax, because the longer you struggle, the harder it will be.
That's
right. All right. Relax.
Right.
Allow God to finish that work in you. Allow Him to sanctify you.
Yes.
Hold on to the Word of God. Work in the obedience and the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He will deliver you from those things.
That's right.
Right? And it sounds so simple, but it's a lifelong process.
Yes, it is.
Right? Because even though I'll just talk about me, because that's what I talk about. It's all about me, my. No. In me, I know that there dwells no good things,
right,
except Jesus Christ.
Right.
I know that I still have hang-ups and sin that I battle with every day.
Sure.
Right? I got a prideful streak in me that God's still working on.
Yeah.
Right? I believe it or not, I am fairly arrogant. You know? And I have a mean streak in me that most of y'all don't know. Unless you've worked with me on, like, projects, right, Justin? Justin saw it come out of me once. And so, I still deal with those things.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work right first time, I just tear it up. I've broken three computers in the 10 years because they would not work the way I wanted to. And so I punched them right in the screen. All right?
But that's the same way with a temper.
Amen.
A bad temper or anything else, you say no.
Yes.
You catch it.
Yep.
And sooner or later you catch it before.
Yes. And I'm not as bad as I used to be. Right? I haven't broke a computer in a long time. Right? I stopped using them. But that's beside the point, right? Over at the other building, we had a toilet that kept getting clogged. Right? And so, anyhow, somebody would put a whole roll of toilet paper. Listen, the mess isn't that big. Right? But anyhow, it was something that happened every Sunday. And so I'd have to unclog it every Sunday. And this one time, I had to pull the toilet. And so there's a small bathroom. The door barely closed as you went in. And so I pulled the toilet, and the door hit it. And I broke the toilet in my hand. Right? And it got me just... Oh, it got me just... I ripped that door, slapped off the hinges, and stomped the door into powder. I ripped it in the hollow case door, and I ripped that door right in half, and I started kicking it. And I had to replace the whole door frame and the toilet. Right? So, God's still working on me. Right? You know? There's still some things that are in me that need to die.
Of course.
So I'm not saying that I've made it, folks. I got some things that are still in me. Right? And it's not as bad as it used to be. I'm getting better. I don't tear up nearly as many doors and break computers like I used to. So, but see, we need to grow out or in through those things. He who called you, we need to be holy in all manner of lifestyle, because it's written, be ye holy, for I'm holy.
Yeah.
And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. All right? So if you call the Father, if you call Jehovah, if you call Jesus God, right? If that's how you identify, I used to identify as a floor installer. Hi, my name is Curtis Fitz. I'm the owner of Perfect Fitz Floor Installation, and I am a floor installer. That was my gig, right? That's what I did. I'm Curtis, right? And I'm a Christian. It doesn't matter your vocation anymore.
Right.
You know, I'm being changed. It's not what I do with my hands. It's what I do with my life now.
Amen.
Right? And so if you call the Father, who is without respect of persons, I like that. God doesn't care what your vocation is. He doesn't care what your pigment is.
No.
He doesn't care about your height. He doesn't care about your weight. He doesn't care about your good looks, your bad looks. He doesn't care about how you dress. He doesn't care about them. He's no respecter of persons.
Amen.
He treats everybody equally. He offers everybody salvation.
Amen.
Now, he knows who's going to take it and who isn't going to take it, but it's offered to everybody. The love of God is poured out without restriction.
Amen.
Isn't that a beautiful thing? The Father, without respect of persons, he judges according every man's work. All right, so he's going to judge me, right? I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ someday, right? And he's going to judge me. I thank God that I'm under the blood.
Amen.
Amen. Because though my sins be as scarlet, they'll be made white as snow. Right? And I don't know, have y'all ever done this little trick? You get a little red lens, right? They used to send before scratch-off lotto tickets were, they'd send these things through the mail, right? They had a red sheet in front of it, and you couldn't see it. You had to remove the red sheet, and you could see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's like. So God takes his blood, and he covers your sin, and though you are a sinner, it makes it white as snow.
Amen.
Right? If you're behind the blood. Now, if you're in front of the blood, then you are known. You're judged by your works. You're judged by your goodness. And we know that no goodness will ever be able to stand before God.
No.
Your own personal good works, they are not good enough.
No.
That's why Jesus came. Right? That he would cover us, that he would complete us. And so he judges us, every man according to his work. So I'm going to be judged on Jesus' work on the cross, because he's my covering, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to stand before God on my work, on my righteousness, on my goodness, because I am not good, I am not righteous, there is nothing good in me except for Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, all right? You are in this cocoon, you're being changed,
all right, into the image of Christ, so that your sojourning time. We're all together in this melting pot, right? And he's changing us. He's working us. We have a lifelong journey here on this earth. Now, as I'm walking on this earth, I need to walk in reverence of God.
Amen.
I need to know that God is holy, and I need to be holy because I am His.
Yes.
I am an ambassador of the Most High God. And so when people see me, they judge the God I serve by my actions. Mm-hmm. Right? It doesn't take away my salvation, but it does what the world sees in me. They'll say, oh, you're a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
I just saw you kick that cat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I just saw you do whatever it is. I saw you tell that dirty joke. Right? And not that the dirty joke's going to send you to hell. But what that dirty joke does, or that drink of whiskey does, or that nasty attitude does, it takes the goodness of God and it smudges it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Right? In the world's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So as we're journeying here, I need to fear God. See, I'm gonna stand before Him someday. Right? And I need, while I'm here on this plane, in this planet, in this body, I need to be a good representation of who God is.
Amen.
Now, will I do it all the time? No. Because there are those times that the toilet breaks in your hand and you've got to rip the door. Right?
Yeah. Is it fear or is it respect?
It's reverence.
Right?
Reverence. And Jesus said, fear not a man who's able to take away your life, but fear him who's able to take your life and cast your soul into hell. All right? So there's a fear there. All right? That fear kind of keeps me straight. You know, because I know even though God is all loving, I also know He's all just. Right? And amen. Read Ezekiel, you know. And, look at what God, He loved Israel. But look at what He put Israel through in the times that they turned away from God. They didn't walk in fear. They raised up a generation that did not know God. And God sent the ice, right? He sent the Mesopotamians. He sent the Moabites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, all of the ice. He sent them into their land, and they didn't do what they were supposed to by kicking them out, and then they became a thorn in their flesh.
Yeah.
You know, and there's still a thorn in their flesh today.
Yeah.
The only reason Israel doesn't have all of Israel is not because of the Balfour Treaty that they made in 1917. It's not because of that. It's because that they did not walk in the fullness that they were told to.
Right.
And God took them out of the land because He told them that they would, that He would. If you don't follow me, then I'm going to remove you out of the land.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Church, if you don't follow Him, don't you think that, well, He says, don't laugh at the fig vine or the grapevine that's been removed. If God removed the natural figs, don't you think He can remove you too?
Yeah.
He removed them and grafted you in, and if He removed them, He can take you out.
That's right.
You know? He's God, you're not. So I walk in reverence, but I also walk in fear. I mean, I know He's all loving. I know He's all good. I don't know that. Some of y'all had really good dads, right? That you knew that He loved you, right? He loves you. But there's a fear that goes along with that. You know, there's a fear. If you do something wrong, Dad's going to tan that hide, right? And there's a fear that goes along with that, you know? And it's a good fear. It's not like, oh, Daddy, don't hit me again. Although you might say that just before the paddling. But after that, there's the hug that comes along with it, right? And so, anyhow, chase that rabbit far enough downhill. Now, it's 10 minutes after 8. Now, yeah, just a little bit further. Y'all don't mind going a little bit further, do you? Because this is important. Forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without spot, without blemish, and without spot. All right? See, you weren't bought by worldly things.
No.
You were bought by the blood of the Most High God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When He became flesh and loved you to the point of death. Mm-hmm. And in that, there is a reverence, there's a fear. There's I'm awestruck at what God did. Because He didn't have to do it. He chose to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I can rise it back up.
Yeah.
See, Jesus was without sin. Here's something that might blow your mind just for a second. Do you know that the payment of sin is death, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you never had sin, are you able to die? You'd have no reason to be paid for it. They could not kill Jesus
mm-hmm.
because He was a man without sin.
He had to allow it.
He had to lay it down. See, any regular man wouldn't have lived through the scourging.
No.
Any regular man wouldn't have been able to carry his cross. Any regular man, with the scourging and the amount of blood that he lost and the water that he lost, being nailed to a cross, would have died.
Yeah. Curtis, do you ever think that about that? Like, how
is
this guy?
They had to. Those Roman soldiers, they were trained on how to beat a man to death.
I know.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They had to have known.
Yeah, you would have thought, this guy really is dying.
The one who thrust the spear into his side, right? And the water and the blood flowed out. And he said, this must be the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
He knew,
yeah.
Right? They didn't break a bone in his body because he just before that he said, I give up the ghost.
Yeah.
It is finished.
And that's also why the angels didn't stop it.
Right. Absolutely.
Because he says, lest you dash your feet, your father will send legions of angels.
Amen.
So you don't accidentally dash your feet, the angels will protect you.
Right.
But since this has to be done, the angels stood aside.
It was His free will to die for the will for the souls of mankind. Because He was without sin.
Yeah.
Even how sin entered in, right? When Adam ate the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, God said, if you eat this fruit, in dying you shall die. If you eat of this fruit, in dying you will die. See, before that, there was no death.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There was no death until sin entered in.
No.
Nothing died. Isn't that mind-boggling? And then God manifested in flesh, lived on this earth, and was tempted in every way, just like us, yet without sin, that He could willfully lay down His life for us worms. Amen? For us. It is, I'm awestruck at the love of God.
Amen.
Because personally, as much as I like you, I wouldn't do it for you. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't do it. Well, even if I did, it wouldn't do no good. Because I'm a sinner. My blood can't cleanse you. It had to be spotless blood. And it had to be a human. That's why God became man.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because man sinned. Sin came death. Then a man had to come and live his life without sin that he might die to set the captive free.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And we are free from sin and death.
You can't fix a flat tire with a flat tire.
Amen.
I learned that when I was a very young Christian. It dawned in my head.
Amen. Can't fix a flat tire with a flat tire.
So he had to be sinless.
He had to be sinless, and he was. And he loves you, and he died for you,
Amen.
And he rose from the grave because he was God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Because he was God.
Bless him, yeah.
So remember, three men died on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Crosses that day. Only one laid down his life.
Yes.
The other men gave, their life was taken from them.
Mm-hmm.
the one who laid down his life 3 days later came up from the grave. Up from the grave he arose.
Oh,
I ought to know this. I came, but I went out just this way. Anyhow, folks, I love you. We're going to stop right there because it's 8:15, and I know that, folks, it's the middle of the week. Let me pray for you. Father, I love you. I praise you. I ask even now, Lord God, that you would rest over your people, Father. Help them to know the salvation they have in you, the freedom they have in you, the love that you have bestowed on them. And Father, help us to love others the way that you have loved us this week. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.